Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, The Free Lunch Express. Well, it continues. Today was the conclusion of the two-day FOMC Federal Open Market Committee meeting at the Federal Reserve, and their decision, no surprise, they left rates unchanged at historic lows between zero and 25 basis points, because we are in the midst of the greatest depression, because we are operating like a banana republic. These rates, as far as it is within their control, are not going up. Not going up. Again, he was asked by reporters following the release of their meeting's decision, when are rates going to go up? When are you going to decide to unwind these programs? Well, again, as he has been consistently saying, he being chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, I'm not even thinking about raising interest rates. It's not even a thought. Not even thinking about it. So it's not going to happen. So much as it's within their control. Now, Mr. Market may have something else to say about that in the not-too-distant future. Time will tell. We said yesterday the alphabet soup of emergency facilities has been extended to the end of this year. We now also know that the dollar swap lines, which we have discussed at length here, and I'll recap as well, the dollar swap lines is also being extended until March of 2021. Again, folks, they know what's going on. The very issues that we highlight here on a daily basis, I'm not privy to any secret, top secret information. If I understand what's going on, so do these people. The difference is, I'm giving you the hard facts, telling you straight what's going on, what's likely going to happen. These people are going to continue to lie to you and tell you everything's going to be great, that these programs are not going to be inflationary, that it doesn't cause any type of wealth inequality, etc., etc., that it's perfectly fine, that it's perfectly legal. It's a bunch of hogwash. It's nonsense. But they're going to keep spewing this rhetoric because they don't want to take any responsibility for what has happened and for what's about to happen in the not-too-distant future. But with these dollar swap lines being extended, they too are very much concerned about the potential for a dollar doom loop scenario. And if you have not checked out that podcast, I suggest that you do. Dollar doom loop. Because in that scenario, you can have what I have been saying would be like the dollar, the U.S. dollar, having its swan song before it finally dies and collapses, which all fiat currencies eventually do. And we are in a currency war. We are in a race to the bottom. Nobody wins these currency wars. In fact, you lose. That's almost the winner is the loser. Whoever gets to the bottom first is quote-unquote the winner, but they're actually the loser, okay? But if you have a strong dollar, that's going to cause a lot of issues for a lot of countries around the world and for a lot of corporations around the world who are holding U.S. dollar-denominated debts because they have to come up with U.S. dollars to pay those debts. And it's not just the interest payments, but it's the amount of maturities that are coming due. So it's not just those coupon payments, but it's also the principal. And when you talk about a few hundred trillion dollars worth of global debt out there, it doesn't take that much, that high of a percentage to cause huge global issues. Okay? So the Federal Reserve is very much aware of this. Make no mistake about it. They're not going to tell you this. That's the reason, but you have to read between the lines. You have to connect the dots. You have to understand what's at play here. So they're not going to come out and tell you what I just told you, but they will tell you that we're going to extend the dollar swap lines. That's why. Now, the reason, another reason they are doing this, but of course it's still hitched to it, is because what would happen if they didn't have these dollar swap lines is other countries would start to sell off their holdings of U.S. Treasuries, because U.S. Treasury is a piece of paper that says U.S. Treasury. Well, that's not going to pay off the debt. They're dollar-denominated debts. They need U.S. dollars. They need other pieces of paper that say U.S. dollars or Federal Reserve notes on it. So they'd have to sell their U.S. treasuries to get U.S. dollars, and then they can go and they can pay off their dollar-denominated debts. It's very simple to understand, okay? If they do that, corporations, countries, what have you, if they do that and they go out into the debt market and they sell their holdings of U.S. treasuries, prices of those treasuries will go down. Yields will go up because it's inversely related. The bond price and its yield, inversely related. Well, if the Federal Reserve is attempting to keep a lid on interest rates and they want them as low as humanly possible, well, then they can't have that scenario playing out now, can they? They can't have all of these corporations and all of these countries going out into the bond market and selling U.S. treasuries en masse, because there's not going to be any type of buyer to absorb them. That's why rates would go higher. And the Federal Reserve doesn't want to buy up all of the debt. It doesn't want all of it. At least hold on to some of it. Please hold on to some of that other stuff. We're doing enough as it is. Hold on to yours. So instead of doing that, you keep them. We'll print U.S. dollars for you, because the Bank of England can't print U.S. dollars. The ECB can't print U.S. dollars. The Reserve Bank of Australia can't print U.S. dollars. They can only print their respective currencies. So the Fed says, hold your horses. Don't go out. Please don't sell your treasuries. Keep them on your books. We'll use those treasuries as collateral. And we'll just simply give you the dollars, and you do what you have to do with them, and then we'll just continue to play ball. That's what's going on, because they don't want the dollar to strengthen. They don't want that dollar swan song. They don't want the dollar doom loop scenario. So, now, it can still happen despite their intentions to put a lid on it. And if it does, then it'll play out like we have been discussing. And again, check out that podcast, Dollar Doom Loop. Conversely, as we discussed, I believe it was last week, the possibility that the dollar does not strengthen, it does not have its swan song before it finally dies. Well, that's not going to be a pretty picture either. That's destruction of the U.S. dollar, which is taking place anyway. Now it's just getting there faster. That's not going to be good, especially not for you here in the United States of America, who trades in U.S. dollars. Your standard of living is just going to drop. Your cost of living is going to go through the roof. Now, Jay Powell and the idiots at the Federal Reserve and Janet Yellen, the former chairman, and Ben Bernanke, the former chairman, as they testified a couple weeks ago before Congress, you know, they've been saying the same thing for years during their respective chairmanships. We're doing these policies. They're going to be temporary. They're not going to create any inflation. And even if you were concerned that it was going to create inflation, well, look, we've been doing it and it wasn't here. So it didn't generate inflation for the past 10 years. It's not going to generate inflation this time, which is laughable, and it's a lie. The very fact that they increased the money supply, that in and of itself, the printing press, turning it on, that is inflation. The question is, what are those effects of inflation? Where does it go? At what rate? To what degree? Over what time frame? You didn't have somebody like Barack Obama rising to prominence because there was no inflation. And of course, Barack Obama came in during the Great Financial Crisis, sort of before all of this major nonsense of quantitative easing started. But he was there during the bulk of it. And this has been the weakest business expansion ever in the history of the United States. It was also the longest, but it was also the weakest. And because of the real inflation that existed, that gives rise to somebody like Donald Trump. If everything was fantastic, and even Trump admits this, he even says, if Obama didn't do such a terrible job and blah, 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 I wouldn't be here. That's a factual statement. That's true. I have been saying that for months. If you don't have Clinton, you don't have Bush, you don't have Obama. If you don't have those three stooges, you don't get Donald Trump. That's what happens. That's what happens. People feel disenfranchised. They can't afford the living paycheck to paycheck. That's because they can't afford to live. That's the effects of inflation. Now, they can cite whatever government statistic they want to conjure up and say, look, inflation's maintained, it's under control, blah, 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 blah. It's not. It's not. And when that genie gets out of the bottle, and it's going to happen, they're not going to be able to put it back in. And that's when this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. They can kick this can down the road a little bit further, get people, okay, maybe a vaccine's coming, maybe it's coming, maybe it's coming, maybe there's a therapy coming, maybe it's coming. Calm down. Calm down. We got a liquidity crisis, but we can handle that. But waiting in the wings is the insolvency crisis. That is coming next. And they're just not going to have enough, quote-unquote, stimulus to keep this thing going. They're just not. But again, if they do, for the sake of argument, can pull this rabbit out of the hat, and you find your free lunch, the free lunch express is coming to town, and it doesn't have to leave, all aboard, well, then hey, we don't have to pay taxes anymore. We don't have to pay taxes anymore. And it was somewhat refreshing to hear somebody else who I follow and listen to, Jim Bianco. Some of you might be familiar with him. He has a research business for financial markets. You'll catch him on CNBC, Bloomberg every once in a while, and then some other people will interview him on YouTube. And I happened to catch a recent interview with him, and he was making the same point. So it's always nice to be in good company. But he didn't take it a step further like I do. He was in agreement that the IRS can be basically put out of business, meaning that we don't have to pay taxes anymore because MMT is here, modern monetary theory is here. All you got to do is turn the printing press on. There's no negative side effects, so go ahead. Get rid of your taxes. Just print the money. I take it a step further. Well, if it's good for the government, then it's good for me. I don't have to pay my bills either through my production, through my earnings. Just print it. I'll send you the bill and you pay it. Because if debts and deficits don't matter, which is what we are being told by Bernanke, by Janet Yellen, by other members of the Federal Reserve Board, by the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, Jay Powell, if debts and deficits don't matter, then prices don't matter. Because prices are supposed to send a signal to you. Oh, well, that costs $10,000. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. That's really expensive. I can't afford it. I can maybe, you know, I put myself in debt, but it's going to take me a long time to pay it off. So I'm going to make the decision not to do it because I don't want to be in debt. Well, if debts and deficits don't matter, then have a good time and go buy that item for $10,000. This is why I don't think it's going to work. See that easy thought experiment, that little logical deduction there, just following how this is not going to work? But they're not going to tell you this. They're just going to keep the pedal to the metal. They're going to keep printing the money. They're going to keep buying up assets. They're going to keep buying up corporate debt of the world's largest corporations. Again, not just American companies, but the world's largest corporations. And at the same time, you're going to have Republicans pretending to be tough all of a sudden about debts and deficits and trying to reduce the amount of unemployment going out to the unemployed. $600, now they want it down to $200 or some other figure. But they say nothing about the printing press. They say nothing about the tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars going to purchase corporate debt and to bail out major investors in major corporations. I would at least like them, the Republicans, to be consistent. If you're going to say, okay, now enough's enough, enough's enough, we have a deadline here, so we're going to cut off the $600, the additional $600 in weekly unemployment benefit from the federal government. We're going to cut that off, but we're also going to cut off the Federal Reserve. All of their alphabet soup emergency facilities, that's got to come to an end too. At least have some consistency. Because the major corporations, the largest in the world, they don't need it. But people do need that extra $600. I'm not advocating that they get it. I don't want any bailout for anybody. But if you're going to give it to the world's largest corporations, well, then maybe you should keep giving it to the people, too. And that's the problem. And this is going to be front and center in a couple months when we're really in the thick of it come this 2020 presidential election. So at least some consistency. But you're not going to get that from anybody in Washington. You're just not. The only consistency you're going to get is the consistency of the insanity. That's all you're going to get. Free Lunch Express, the Banana Republic. That's the only consistency you're going to get. And then speaking of the 2020 presidential campaign, Joe Biden has announced that he is going to announce in the first week of August, which is next week, his choice for vice president. Now, right now, there are some rumors out there speculating that it's going to be Senator Kamala Harris of California. If that's his decision, right now I have the race 50-50. Because that's what I think it is. I think it's really a coin toss at this juncture. Earlier in the year, I thought Trump was going to mop the floor with Biden, but how everything has transpired and everything's going on right now, it's a coin toss. It's a coin toss. If he picks Kamala Harris, I'm going to lean more towards Trump pulling this off. This woman is not qualified. I mean, not that many of them are. I don't even think much that the current occupant of the White House is qualified. Nor was the former. This is a long line. This is not me picking on Trump, so cool your heels. This is a long line of people in that White House who are not qualified, but there they've been. But if he picks her, Kamala Harris, I just think that's going to be a very poor decision. Very poor decision. Not that he has really much to choose from, in all honesty, unfortunately, but that's just the state of affairs. It's par for the course. And that's on both sides. That's on the Republican side. That's on the Democrat side. Again. If you asked me who I thought he was going to pick, and we still don't know, obviously, I would have guessed Senator Elizabeth Warren or Susan Rice, the former National Security Advisor in the Obama administration. I'm not saying that I endorse these people or that I think they would be good. I'm simply saying that that's who I think he might go with, Senator Elizabeth Warren or Susan Rice. Again, I don't think either of them are qualified either. But at least Susan Rice, she does know how the White House operates. She does know how the government operates. She is familiar with national security issues because she was there. She has had access to top classified information, etc., etc. She at least gets it. Now, when it comes to debating, Kamala Harris did a terrible job during her run. And again, earlier on, and this was one of my mistakes, I thought she was going to be a formidable candidate because I understood the woman to be ruthless and power hungry. And I said, well, that can be a lethal combination. Now, I never said the woman was smart, because I don't think she is. But I thought that lethal combination or potential lethal combination of being power hungry and ruthless could move her up the scale. Well, she proved dumber than I even thought, and so she fell by the wayside. That's what happened. So to bring her back and to make her VP, I think, is not a good move because a lot of people are going to believe that Joe Biden is not going to make it through his first term, or at least not two terms. So there's a very real possibility that should Joe Biden win, that something could happen to him. Again, God forbid, but something could happen to him, health-wise or worse, and then the VP would have to come in and become president. So people are going to take a hard look at this. And of course, Donald Trump, being only a few years junior, Joe Biden, is going to exploit Joe Biden's age, mental capacity, and then attack that, and then go after the VP selection. Which, of course, is laughable because Donald Trump, he's got a lot of screws loose, too. I mean, I don't understand this narrative that is being thrown out there. And, of course, it's more on the Fox News circuit than anywhere about, oh, we can't wait until there's a debate between Trump and Biden. With, of course, Fox News thinking that Trump's going to mop the floor with him. Why don't you rewind and why don't you go on YouTube and watch those debates with Hillary Clinton? She mopped the floor with him. And this is coming from a guy who voted for Trump. She mopped the floor with him, especially during the first couple. He finally got his act together and said, oh, my goodness, I got the floor mopped here and I got to do something. Got to study up a little bit. I expect the same. Again, this is going to be a national embarrassment. It's going to be a national disgrace, most likely, with these two up there debating. I don't even think it's going to be a debate. I just think it's going to be rambling because they both do it. They both do it. They both ramble. They both forget what they're talking about. It's going to be a national disgrace. Just like yesterday's podcast, an utter disgrace with what took place on Capitol Hill because there's no civil discord anymore. This is just going to be, again, another piece of evidence to put into your bin of the American decline, banana republic, whatever you want to call that jar. This is just going to be another piece of evidence. It's just going to be. Because you never hear Donald Trump really speak eloquently or articulately about any of his policies. It's just he's the best. It's great. Somebody screwed up for the past 40 years. You got to go with me. If you did it my way, we'd be done already. Bah, 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 bah. That's not a debate. That's not talking about the finer points, how it's going to relate, how things are going to happen downstream, upstream, what are they going to be. There's no intellectual conversation going on there. And then Joe Biden, yeah, I mean, I get it. Sometimes he doesn't know where he is. Unfortunately, this is the choice. And of course, you cannot vote, which is my choice. I'm not voting for any of this. I don't, because nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. There is no draining of the swamp, which is a good segue for who else was brought before Congress today to testify, and that was some of the big tech wigs. Now, of course, again, this was over Skype or Zoom, whatever. I didn't watch a minute of it because of what took place yesterday with how disgraceful that was. So I didn't watch a minute of it. Maybe I'll catch some clips on YouTube or elsewhere. But some of the big tech, big wigs were testifying today, and really, what do you think was going to happen? Because Congress wants to play tough, that these companies are too big, they're too powerful, they have too much information, they collect too much data on you, ba 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 ba. And then Thunder Thumbs comes out and tweets and says, well, if Congress doesn't do anything, I'm going to do something with an executive order. Okay, Thunder Thumbs, let's take a pause here, because you're obsessed with the stock market. You're obsessed with it. These companies, for all intents and purposes, are the stock market. These 5, 6, 7 companies, they are the stock market. So if you actually want to play the tough guy and actually do something about it and implement a policy that actually has teeth, that's going to somehow limit these companies, hurt their revenue, hurt their business plan, hurt their cost structure, have a negative effect to their bottom line, well, guess what? These stocks might sell off. And if what leads up leads down, well, then the stock market's going to come down. So I don't take the president at his word of being really, oh, if Congress doesn't do something, I'm going to do it. Because he's more obsessed with the stock market than anything else. And he doesn't want that going down. And just to understand how the market interpreted Thunder Thumbs' threat and that potential threat of Congress as well, the NASDAQ was up over 1% today. But this is a joke, because these are the masters of the universe. The politicians who want to grandstand and pretend to be tough are actually dancing around in these guys' pockets. See how this works? They're not actually going to do anything. It's just not going to happen. Apple, Amazon, they own these guys and women in Congress. They're not going to do anything. They're going to act tough. They're going to sound tough. They're going to give you a sound bite so they can put it on a 30-second advertisement when they go home for the election cycle, because that's all they do. They give you 30-second sound bites, and it makes it seem like that's what they're doing there day in and day out. Don't be fooled, but you will be. And then you'll be scratching your head another 2 years, another 4 years, another 6 years. Why isn't anything changing? Wonder why. Then some more insanity in the stock market. Kodak, the bankrupt Kodak. Camera manufacturer, yada, yada, yada. Well, now they're getting a bailout from the federal government, some $700+ million in a loan, quote-unquote loan, to revamp their facilities, not for cameras or film or anything like that, but so they can redo themselves and become a pharmaceutical manufacturer or a pharmaceutical ingredient manufacturer. Because that makes sense. Their stock, because they're bankrupt, has been trading around $2 for quite a while. Well, today it hit 60. And of course, because of the surge, you had different market breakers come in and out on both sides, on the upside and the downside, because this thing was extremely volatile. It ended up closing, I think, somewhere around $35, somewhere around $33, up 318% for the day, because it was trading up a couple days earlier, too. This is the insanity. Now, people inside the administration knew that this was going to happen. That they were going to give a loan to Kodak. Insider information, anybody? Do you think anybody made some money on this? Where's the SEC? Is this the type of government you want operating? This is a banana republic. How many more? I mean, one after the next, every stinking day, I got to come out here with another story like this. What next bankrupt company is going to get bailed out and you're going to see these types of stocks going off? What other BS vaccine headline are we going to have to go through? So the stock can go up and so insiders can sell it. How many more? But we're going to go vote for this again. People are going to go vote for this again. Let's just keep it going. Let's just keep it going. It's a joke. But that's what's going on. And this is the Free Lunch Express. And everybody is going to remain silent for the most part, because you're going to get an extra $1,200, an extra $600. Maybe 200, whatever, you're going to get it. You're getting your sit-down, shut-up money. And that's exactly what it is. Because these big tech companies aren't going anywhere. They are joined at the hip with the government. We know this. This is the technological industrial complex. We know the names. We know the documents. This was released by Edward Snowden a handful of years ago, given a backdoor to the government for all of this information. And then again, we have the audacity to go after other countries, such as China or Russia, and say, look at all of the information they gather on all of their citizens. That we do the same thing. We just do it through the back door. Putin and Xi might come out and say, yeah, we're going to collect all this data. They're just going to be more upfront about it. We know we got to do it sleight of hand. We got to get it from major corporations. I'm not defending Russia or China or any other country that meddles in this nonsense. I'm just saying we got to take care of our own affairs. I'm sick and tired of putting the blame on everybody else. This is our fault. This is our fault. We got to clean it up. Don't blame the Mexicans. Don't play the Chinese. Don't blame the Russians. This is our fault. We got to get a handle on this. Because if we got a handle on it, those countries wouldn't be a problem. Especially not as big as what they are now. But this is what happens when a country is in decline. It collapses from within, and then any other outside pressure is amplified because we are weaker internally. That's exactly what is going on here. So for any of you who are interested in history and wondering what it must have been like during the collapse of the Greek Empire or the Persian Empire or the British Empire or the Roman Empire, well, you're going through it. We are going through it. This is going to be the Greatest Depression. We are a banana republic. Came across another article just to follow up with some other things that we have been discussing with the total economic collapses. And again, the countries that I have mentioned as some of the weakest links, first to go, obviously, Venezuela, Lebanon, which we discussed last week. Iran is on the brink. And now Turkey. And I have been mentioning Turkey as well, because their collapse, their currency may very well be collapsing, in the process of collapse. Buckle up, folks. Buckle up. The Free Lunch Express is coming to town. All aboard. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Godspeed.